Blog Talk Radio. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, April the 14th, 2024. I'm the woman of God of this assembly. I am Apostle Shalene Cook. But as always, I am joined each and every Sunday by some of the phenomenal servant leaders here at Spirit Alive. And this morning, I'm being joined by Minister Tina Brown, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. But I'd also like to say a very special good morning to two of my spiritual aunts, Aunt Nita and Aunt Linda, who both serve as elders here at Spirit Alive. So on behalf of all of us, we would just like to welcome you to this morning's worship service. And it is our fervent prayer that not only will you hear something that will inspire and uplift you, but that you will receive something, a word that will truly bless your soul. So at this time, we will get this praise party started with our very own Minister Tina Brown. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us bow our hearts, clear our minds, and bow our heads as we go to the throne of grace in prayer. O most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this morning, giving you thanks, all the honor, praise, and glory for another day you've given us to come together and worship you, Heavenly Father. We ask that you bless our message that will be delivered today by Apostle Cook. As she mentioned in her opening statement, let it touch the hearts and souls of those that need this message today, Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for everyone who's listening today, Heavenly Father, from near and far. And we ask that you bless us all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Here we go, y'all. Ah.
I am the God who hears the sea.
Oh.
For that you won't be trusted.
You are the sea.
You are the sea.
By faith.
It's your
Go!
Your
you are practice. Yeah, write a book, say it's yours.
It's yours, it's yours.
Ah.
It's yours in heaven.
Wave your hands as you know you're gonna go get it.
It's yours,
you.
It's yours.
Oh,
it's yours in heaven.
God made you the head, not the tail. He placed you above and not beneath. He made you a nymph.
Jesus. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And beloved of God, each and every Sunday, we ask the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come, and she will read to us from a powerful devotional this morning entitled 365 Days for Peace that was written by Sister Sherry Crowell. So at this time, I'm going to ask that you retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I love each and every one of you, no matter how near or far from me you are. This morning's meditational reading is entitled, Given to Be Used. It says, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1-7. Now, imagine if merely receiving the gift of an exercise bike means automatically experiencing its health and fitness benefits. Gifts don't work that way, though. We need to use the exercise bike. We need to rely on discipline, hard work, and sweat to experience any beneficial results from that gift. The gift of flowers placed in a closet is not a gift we enjoy. A blender placed on the counter but never used is a gift of little worth. Good gifts are the gifts we use. God gives the best and most appropriate gifts, for instance. He knew that as a young preacher, Timothy needed gifts that would counter his natural timidity and fear. So God gave him power, love, and self-discipline. What gifts do you need? If you ask for and receive them, will you use them as Timothy did? God knows what you need, so ask him for those gifts and then be ready to use them to serve him and others. May the Lord add blessings and favor upon the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. Amen. Prayer for the week. God, please give us the gifts of power, love, and self-discipline. Help us to use the gifts you've given me wisely and the gifts you've given us wisely and well. Amen.
Come on.
Hallelujah. We are so blessed to be able to say, Father God, you're all I need. King Jesus, you're all I need. Hallelujah. And that is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, saints of God, it is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we come together as a family, hallelujah, to lift up our praise, our thanksgiving, our supplications, and our petitions unto the Most High God. Because all of us here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, we know that for ourselves that prayer changes things. And we know that because God has said in his holy word that if we simply abide in him and allow him to abide in us, we can ask whatever we will and it shall be done. So, and when he said shall be done, that does not mean maybe. That means it will be done. It will be done in his son's name for his glory. Hallelujah. So right now I'm going to ask that you once again clear your minds and focus. Let's get prepared to enter into his presence, hallelujah, with his anointed apostle Zeta Flowers, hallelujah, and to God be the glory. Apostle Zeta.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, each and every one, as we prepare to go into prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you this morning. We come to you this morning asking, Lord, that you would forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins or anything, Lord, that might be inside of us that would not be pleasing to you. We ask for your forgiveness because we know that you are,
yes, Lord,
our forgiving God. And we thank you.
Yes.
We thank you that we can always turn to you for any reason. And we thank you for that this morning. And we come to you, Lord, because we know that the world is facing a great crisis all over the world. All kinds of things, hallelujah, we are seeing that are happening that you have already told us about.
Yes, Lord.
That we would see. But you also told us to pray. And so we lift up the situations to you this morning. We lift up all the circumstances. We lift up all of the things that are going on, Lord, that we have no control over, but we know that you do. And so that's why we come to you. We lift up your people everywhere. We lift up the United States.
Yes, Lord.
We lift up our country, but we don't stop with just our country, but we lift up all of the countries all over the world. In the name of Jesus, we pray for peace. Hallelujah. We pray for those that are affected by the war. We lift up Israel to you this morning.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. We know, Lord, that you are in control.
Sir. Yes, you are.
And we know that you are moving right now by your Spirit. We know that changes are being made right now because of you. We know that lives are being touched right now because you care. And we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for souls to be saved. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, because we know that this is a time, hallelujah, that need not be wasted. But we pray, Lord, for many to come to you in the name of Jesus, in the pardoning of their sins, so that they will no longer be lost, hallelujah, but their lives will be spared.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, Lord, that not only that their lives be spared, but they will have hope through you, Christ Jesus, and know that you are the one that can and will make a difference in their lives. So we ask in the name of Jesus that many souls will be touched, even as we pray right now. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, We pray for that great harvest. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray for the safety of your people. We pray for your hand of protection. Hallelujah. Over your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray for those that are causing havoc and those that are just going about doing whatever they feel like doing. We pray that there will be a stop to it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, that you will turn many around in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, where there is wickedness, hallelujah, we pray, Lord, that you would step in, that you would make a change, hallelujah, in your people. In Jesus' name, those that have gone mad, those that are going in houses and going in stores and restaurants and
Lord,
many different places and taking charge and doing what they want to do and stealing things that don't belong to them, those that are hijacking cars and hurting people for no reason, we pray that there will be a stop to it. In the name of Jesus, that you would move in a mighty way, God. In Jesus' name, that you would move in a miraculous way across this nation. In Jesus' name, we know that there are many, Lord, that in the state, in the United States and across the world where natural disasters have hit. We pray, Lord, that there will be a rebuilding in these areas. In the name of Jesus, where there's destruction, we pray that there will be some rebuilding in the name of Jesus, not only in the homes and buildings and places of business, but a rebuilding in your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray for leaders everywhere. We pray for your church. We pray for your ministers, Lord. Hallelujah. That even our churches and our ministries will become even a greater witness for the world. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us so that we can be a greater blessing in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
So that the needs of your people are met in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your being our refuge and our strength in Jesus' name so that we can go forth and continue to operate in your power. And in your strength, God, hallelujah, because our dependency is upon you. Even those of us, Lord, that are called, that are meeting the needs of your people and ministering to your people and going out into the vineyard, we pray, Lord, hallelujah, for our continued strength and health in the name of Jesus, that we can meet the needs of your people, that you can use us for your will and glory, that you can and will operate in us and through us. Hallelujah, for Christ's sake, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Even those that are in bondage, we pray for their freedom. Hallelujah. Freedom to serve you, freedom to live for you, freedom to give up their ways for you, God. Hallelujah. And help them turn from their wicked ways and learn to live a life of Christ.
Yes,
oh, dear God.
Yes, Lord.
In the name
Thank
of
you,
Jesus.
Jesus.
In the name
Hallelujah,
of Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh,
yes.
And Lord, we lift up those that are grieving over their losses.
Yes.
Losses
yes,
of their
Lord.
Loved
Touch.
Ones. Losses
yes,
of
Lord,
many
touch.
Things, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Their loss of their businesses due to destruction and all of these things.
My
we
Lord,
lift them up, Lord,
touch
in
Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
Yes.
Touch those that are grieving. Comfort
Lord.
Them today, God, in the name of
yes,
Jesus.
Lord.
Restore. We pray for restoration in the name
yes,
of Jesus.
Lord. Yes,
in
Lord.
The name of Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, and Lord, we pray that more and more your people will feel your love, that they will know
yes.
your love, that they will understand
yes.
your love. Hallelujah. That
hallelujah.
Your love, hallelujah, is unconditional in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter Hallelujah. What they have done, what they have, those that they have hurt, we pray, Lord, for their forgiveness. We pray that they will come to you, that they will repent. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And you will make them whole. Hallelujah. And that their souls will be saved. Oh, God. Touch, Lord, everywhere in the name of Jesus. Everywhere, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to build us up in you, Christ Jesus. Touch the sick today. We speak healing.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. In the name of
yes.
Jesus, heal those, hallelujah, that are sick. Heal those, Lord, hallelujah, that don't have any hope. Those that feel like they're in a hopeless situation, we pray, Lord, that you will raise them up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, touch, Lord. Touch and heal. And we pray for miracles, hallelujah, to be wrought. Miracles to come forth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That the people will see you, God. Hallelujah. Your power. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that you are a compassionate God, hallelujah, that
yes,
you,
you
do
are.
Care, hallelujah, that you
yes,
are
Lord.
Moving, hallelujah, with compassion, hallelujah, that you do care, God, in the name of Jesus, and help your people to realize that in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Lord, we just pray for Spirit of Live Ministries and other
bless
ministries
you.
That are connected and
bless
churches
you.
That are connected. Hallelujah.
Yes,
individuals.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That
yes.
are praying. We
yes,
pray
Lord.
For them as well. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Continue to give us strength. Hallelujah. We lift up Apostle Shirlene Cook this morning and we continue to pray,
oh,
Lord. Hallelujah.
You,
not repetitiously, but we want her to continue to be healthy and well in every way, God.
Thank
hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Hallelujah.
That the ministry will
Lord,
carry
you.
On.
Lord.
That the ministry will continue
yes,
to
for your glory.
Bless as it has been and as it does. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Thank
and we
you, Jesus.
Thank you. We thank you
Lord,
for it.
Thank
hallelujah.
You, Lord.
We thank you for the
thank
people.
You, Lord.
Hallelujah. That call in and listen in, hallelujah, and those
yes,
that will
Lord.
Even stand up and say that they are blessed, that they have been blessed.
Yes,
we
yes.
thank you. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that this ministry has made a difference and continues to make a difference in the lives of others, and we thank you for it. If there is any
yes.
sick among us, right now,
yes,
God,
Lord,
we pray
touch,
that you
right
will
now.
Touch, that you will move right now, God, hallelujah. That you will heal right now. Touch, hallelujah, whatever they may be going through. Hallelujah. We pray for breakthroughs this morning. Hallelujah. Whatever the needs are, we pray that you will meet them in Jesus' name. We pray for testimonies, hallelujah, to
yes.
come through the things that you are going to do, hallelujah,
yes,
for each
Lord.
And every one of us. And we thank you for it in Jesus'
thank
name.
You, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes I feel
Hallelujah and glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I am truly happy just in knowing that I am the Lord's child. Now, beloved, it is now time for this morning's word. Hallelujah. And this morning, saints of God, we will be continuing on our transformational journey through the book of Ephesians. Mm-hmm. And I know that some of you might be thinking, well, Apostle, you've been on Ephesians chapter 1 for a while now. Well, to that, all I can say is you're right. But if you were with us at the beginning of this series, you would know that I have already declared and decreed that we are going to begin to look at our scriptures precept upon precept. Hallelujah. Because I don't know what other servant leaders' hearts' desire may be, but my passion is to save the lost. My passion is to equip the saved. My passion, hallelujah, is to give God glory.
Amen.
So this morning, we're going to be going right back to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 14. Because I want to take the next couple of teachings to talk about two main thoughts that is expressed in chapter 1, verses 11 through 14, pertaining to the words inheritance and sealed. Because I want us to consider these two words together. Why? Well, because one is a promise of rich blessing, many of which are yet to be realized. And the other gives us that blessed assurance that those blessings are secure and irrevocable. So now let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. The word of God reads as follows. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession until the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come once again before your throne of grace. First of all, I just want to praise you, and I want to thank you for just giving me another opportunity, Lord, to stand and deliver your word. Hallelujah. Not my agenda, not my opinions, but your word. Because, God, it is my truest desire to reach your people so that they might give you glory. Lord, I'm thanking you in advance for every person that will give their lives to you today. I praise you in advance, Father God, for every person who will return to their first love, who is you. Hallelujah. And they will allow you to hit the reset button so that they can walk into the purpose that you have truly called them for. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you and I glorify you. It is in Jesus' holy and righteous name I do pray. All things. Amen. Thank you, God. My message today is entitled Sealed. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
But before we get into God's ideal of sealing that we'll look at in verse 13, I want us to pause and consider the word inheritance. For you see, first, we can't overlook the fact that while we are promised an inheritance in Christ, we need to know and understand that we ourselves are his inheritance. You see, this is what the prophet Isaiah was getting at in his prophecy recorded in chapter 53, verse 10, when he said, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring. And again, with Isaiah's prophecy in mind, Hebrews quotes Isaiah 8 and 18, where the Holy Spirit confirms to us that the verse refers to the relationship between Christ and his purchased possession, the church, when he says, "Behold, I and the children whom God has given me." You can find that in Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 13. Now, we have been given many assurances through Scripture. God says that all can come to him in faith when we desire to be right with him. And once we do this, we are adopted into his family. We are made sons because we are his forever. And then he goes on to tell us about his faithfulness to keep his promises, to see us through until we enter into his eternal presence. Just like at the end of Romans 8, where he assures us that nothing can separate us from his love. But I came to tell somebody this morning that even if none of these passages were ever put to paper, or if by some strange thing, some evil power could rip them out of our Bibles and destroy them so that future generations could never read them, I came to submit to you this morning that if we just understand this one truth found in today's text, it will give us the greatest and sturdiest foundation of peace and hope for eternal rest that any human being could have. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, we can be secure in knowing that Jesus willingly rendered himself as a guilt offering for sin, and that we have been purchased with his blood. We are now his inheritance. And even if he never promised us anything else, oh, hallelujah, we would still have the certainty that heaven awaits us when we believe in Christ and his atoning work on the cross. You see, those of us in him understand that we are his possessions and that we have been bought with a price. And no matter what other truths exist about us or the world or even the entire universe, we can rest in this. When we have placed our trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation, first of all, we are his inheritance, and we will receive everything, and I do mean everything, that is rightfully ours when all things in heaven, in the heavens, and things upon the earth are all summed up in Christ. Hallelujah. Just like we talked about how the last time, a couple of weeks ago, when I was talking to you about that great reunion. Hallelujah. All praises to God. I'm glad that that's our truth, but there's a lot more to it, saints of God. You know why I say that? I say it because if we were simply pawns in some cosmic chess game, or if God's only concern was claiming his ownership and his ultimate control, then there would be no more to say than that we were his, we rebelled, he purchased us back, and now we are his again. But I say praises be unto God, because if that was all that there was, then there would be no reason not to believe in the ideal of universalism, where everything and all people of all history will be summed up in him in that great reunion that I talked about to you a couple of weeks ago. Now, and if there was no more to it than God claiming that what was his, then we would have no choice. We wouldn't be called sons, and the ideal of adoption would not and cannot apply. You know what, beloved? Without Christ, we wouldn't be any more special than a styrofoam plate is more special than another styrofoam plate in a bag of 50. See, if this is all that there was to it, there would only be reclamation of a possession. That's all. God would be taking back what was already his. And there would be nothing to praise him about. But I say, praises be to God. Why? I'm going to tell you why. I say praises to God because we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Now, I want us to look at the wording of this, because the wording of this verse brings to mind what we are told in Romans 8, 28 and 29. When I'm reading from the New Living Version, and it says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." I came to tell somebody today that the beginning of your inheritance in him is that you have been predestined to be made perfectly into his image. See, that's God's purpose for you and for me. And it is the greatest expression of his love. He works with us and in us to cause all things to work together toward that end. And then he calls us brethren in the process. You know, we can see this relationship expressed in a little song some of us may have remember singing in Sunday school, and it's taken from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4, and then again, chapter 6, verse 3, where it says, "I'm my beloved, and he is mine. His banner over me is love. I'm my beloved. I belong to Jesus. And I am his inheritance, and he is mine." Oh, hallelujah. Jesus belongs to me, and my hope and my inheritance is in him. And that inheritance, hallelujah, saints of God, is love.
Yeah.
The word of God declares, in this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, again, I want you to note the order that's found here in 1 John 4 and 10, where God says, first, God loved us. Then he sent his son. And that lets us know that he didn't love us because he was lovely. He loved us because he is love. And because he loved us and all his decrees, all his works, all his purposes for us flow from that love, we are his possession. But also, we are his pride and joy. We are the apple of his eye. Yeah. Word of God declares, behold, I and the children thou hast given me. Hallelujah. So, saints of God, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Huh, there you go. Look at God being God all by himself. Look at God being sovereign. Look at God taking all the burden off of our shoulders, and he placed it on his own and made a way of escape. Why? He did it to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Now, I want you to note that throughout this passage, from the beginning of this epistle through verse 14, you know, we see Paul keep coming back to the message that all these spiritual blessings that are bestowed upon us and all that God has planned and purposed in us and all that he is and has brought to pass concerning us, will result, and rightfully so, in the praise of his glory. I said it earlier, and I will keep on saying it and keep on saying it. Praise be to God. Because, see, when you start thinking about God and his great love, I'm telling you, praise is inevitable. It's unavoidable. It's inevitable. Especially now that the mystery has been revealed. You see, when God's truth is known, it will bring about praise. It will bring about thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And it will be demonstrated in the humility, in your humility. It will be demonstrated in the way you live your life. It will, because you will treat others with love. You will understand everything that you're doing. It is not because you're so smart. It is not because you're so good. It is not because you're so special. It's because God loves you and he predestined everything that you're doing before you was even a thought in your mama or daddy's ass. See, I say praise be to God because I'm chosen. I'm made and declared holy and blameless. I am predestined to adoption as his son, to the praise of his glory. And how can I do that all? I get all of that. Hallelujah. Through my faith in Christ Jesus. Hear what I'm putting down right now. All of this is ours. To the praise of God's glory. In Christ Jesus. Not in the opinions of men. Not in the acceptance of men, and not to the glory of men, but everything that we have is in Christ Jesus. And then the word of God goes on to say, I'm getting to verses 13 and 14 now, and more, having believed the gospel message, I now know that I am sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of my inheritance with a view to the redemptions of God's own possessions. Here we go. We're back to that great reunion. Hallelujah. When all God's children get to heaven, what a time we're going to have just praising God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're just going to praise God of his glory. We're going to thank God. Hallelujah. We're going to be shouting, holy, holy, holy. Ah, Lord God Almighty. Huh. So now I want us to go on and talk about this ceiling. This ceiling, yes. But keep in mind, now and always, that the purest and the highest end of our existence, of our salvation, of our inheritance in him, and our preservation to eternal life, is that he might be forever praised, glorified, magnified, hallelujah, and just worshiped around his throne. See, hallelujah, just thinking about that gives me joy. Now, in verse 12, we see that Paul says, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Then in verse 13, he says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Paul is making a distinction here, and I think there could be very little doubt about this, that in verse 12, Paul is referring to the Jews. And in verse 13, he is addressing the Gentiles. Not only the Jews and Gentiles in Ephesus, but all who might read this letter for all generations to come. But I do want to make it perfectly clear that this is not a general reference to the Jewish nation or to the Gentile world. It is a very specific reference to the Jews who believed, who first believed and did not reject Jesus Christ. And then to the Gentiles who believed after hearing the message of salvation from those Jews that believed. When Jesus gave his commission to his apostles, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That word nations, to their ears, meant all the non-Jewish cultures and peoples. The Jews as a nation had rejected their Messiah. They had rejected the gospel, and so they were sidetracked until Paul gives them a newsflash. In Romans 11:25, and it says, he simply says this, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. But we need to understand the first disciples, and therefore the first believers were Jews. See, it was to the believing Jews that Christ gave the Great Commission, and it was believing Jews who first brought the gospel message to the Gentile world. So Paul writes, we, in verse 12, which refers to those who were Jews and believers in the gospel, and his you also refers not to all the Gentile world, but to those Gentiles who heard the gospel message and responded in faith to that message of salvation. Hallelujah. Interestingly, by the very act of making that distinction, we and you also, Paul effectively sends out the message that there is no, hear me, no distinction. That both groups are made one through the salvation message. And we are all equally heirs of Jesus. And we are equally sealed in him with that wonderful Holy Spirit of promise. Now I want us to look at the last line of verse 13, where it says, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, I'm gonna examine this one phrase at a time, but I'm going to do it in reverse order. Watch this. First, the Holy Spirit of promise. Why do you think Paul uses this terminology? What does he mean by a promise? Well, for the answer to that, we can first go to Acts chapter 2. Because following the ascension, Jesus' ascension into heaven, the apostles and other disciples, totaling about 120, we're all gathered in the upper room of the house of prayer. And verse 2 says that suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, put a pin in that because I'm going to give you a little minor side note. You know, isn't it interesting that God called Elijah to the mouth of his cave to show him that he was not found in earthquakes, the wind, or fire, but in a still, quiet voice? Yet when the time comes for him to fulfill his promise and pour out his Holy Spirit on mankind, oh, hallelujah, he lets his presence be known. He heralds the Comforter's coming with a noise like a violent rushing wind and with tongues of fire. Remember what John the Baptist said? He said, I baptize you with water, but after me comes the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay, back to the point. What I'm trying to say is these newly filled and empowered disciples, they all spilled out on the streets of Jerusalem. And then Peter boldly preaches the message of salvation. Uh-huh. And the text of his sermon is taken from the book of Joel, who prophesied the coming of this very day. Look what it says in Acts 2:17-21. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. which means to preach, to proclaim, to declare the word of God. And then it goes on to say, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? Hallelujah. Amen. And if you, you know, and if you just didn't want to, you know, if you want to get another opinion on the situation, we only need to look to Jesus, who also reiterated this promise when he comforted his disciples with these words from John 14, verses 16 through 17, when he said, and I will ask of the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful, blessed assurance? And then it goes on to say in verse chapter 15, 26, and you might as well put an and. You can put an and right there and then say, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. Now, on the day of Pentecost, the promise had been fulfilled. The helper had come to indwell in all of the believers, and not just the believing Jews, but he came to indwell in all men and women from every nation who, after having heard the message of salvation, believed. Yes. We see this happening first in Acts 10 at the home of the Roman centurion named Cornelius. Oh, there, you know what? There's a sermon right there. Oh, well, there's several sermons just right there when we talk about them. But for our purposes today, I'm only going to refer to verses 44 and 45. But I still strongly urge you to sit down later on and read the entire chapter of Acts 10 and then allow the Holy Spirit to minister the wonder of it all to your heart. Verses 44 and 45, we see that Peter is in the process of preaching the gospel to Cornelius and his family. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. And how did they know this? They knew it because of what verse 46 says. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, you can't play with God. We can't play with God. When we seriously give it up to God and we give it all over to God, we will begin doing it. And his Holy Spirit truly comes to dwell within us. You're going to hear it. Because we're going to be exalting God, not ourselves, not other people, not celebrities, but we are going to be exalting the Almighty God. You know what, family? There is a truth that is eternal. We have to understand this truth is not just for the first century church. It's not just for those exciting early days when God was giving birth and grow to his infant church. No, it is a truth that stands and is just as true today as it was then, and it is always going to be true. And that is when the Holy Spirit of promise is poured out upon anyone who believes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that believer now understands he has help. Just as Jesus promised. They have helped to comfort and teach Christ. And you know what happens? They become, the Holy Spirit becomes the recipient of spontaneous praise that exalts and rejoices in God. I don't know about you, family, but it always behooves me when I can enter into churches where the Spirit of the living God is supposed to be able to reside, but I see no praise. I see no exhortation. I see absolutely no rejoicing from so many who claim that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. So much so that if someone were to ask me, do you think they have the Holy Spirit? I'm not going to lie. I would honestly have to say, well, I don't see any signs. Now listen, it's not that we are obligated to put on emotional displays. God is not pleased with that. We don't have to jump up and down or shout glory in the middle of the grocery store. We don't have to do any of that. Because the truth of the matter is that when the Holy Spirit is present in our lives, he shines forth his glory through that life. And our lives light up like a light bulb, and it illuminates, it permeates, and it radiates that shade all around us. We are lights that cannot be hid. Matthew 5:16 says, to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, but do what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The Holy Spirit of the promise has come. He's here. He's come and he lives in all who believe. And he showed up on the scene the moment they gave their lives to Christ. Hallelujah. And I came to tell somebody today that when true saving faith has been exercised from the heart, there is going to be evidence. There is going to be evidence because we are going to see some changing going on. Hallelujah. There is going to be some rejoicing, and there is going to be evidence of fruit. First, we're going to see the fruit of the Spirit being cultivated. And then we're going to be seeing souls won through our lives, our testimony, our witness, declaring salvation through the blood of Jesus. Now, the next phrase going in reverse is, you were sealed in him. You were sealed in him. Sealed in who? Sealed in Christ Jesus. That's who. Now, we all know what a seal is, and we'll talk about that again in my next teaching. But a seal, whatever type of seal it is, you know what it does? It protects, it preserves, and with certain types of seals, they also denote ownership. Now, when I was growing up, I was in the Methodist church. So I don't think I was ever really aware or privy to any debates over eternal security versus the danger of losing salvation through unrepented sin. But from what I can gather, having listened carefully to many instructors and by the messages I've heard coming from a lot of four-square preachers, the position of that church seems to be that we are eternally secure as long as we stay in Christ. But if we continue practicing sin, we take ourselves out of Christ, and we can be lost. Now, I don't totally agree with that, but I don't totally disagree with that either. But I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to argue God's word because, until it comes down to a foundational doctrinal issue such as my eternal security. Uh-huh. So then, but then, thanks to God, I got to get up and take a stand. And it's not a difficult one to take. Why? Because it is grounded on that solid rock. It is grounded on Jesus, the Logos. Hallelujah. See, you have to know this. Jesus paid it all, or he did not pay at all. His blood sacrifice was sufficient to cover my sin, my shame. And if we don't believe that, then we are being demonically deceived. See, we have to understand that Jesus paid it all. We don't need Jesus and something. We just need Jesus, the Logos, the living word of God. And we need to be submitted to his spirit, his comforter, his teacher, the Parakletos, so that we won't be demonically deceived. Because, see, God is not a deceiver. Because throughout all scripture, the Old Testament and the New, he's made his position very clear. As a matter of fact, he's made it so clear, I wonder why we even debating it. You see, all I know is this. Jesus has provided my salvation in full. Hallelujah. He allowed himself to be crucified. He hung, bled, and died, and rose again, and now he has gone to prepare a place for me in his kingdom. And all glory to God. He has sealed me unto himself as his own possession, his inheritance. And although I have severely tested his love, oh yes, and I have presumed upon his grace, and I have given him every good reason to utterly reject me, his holy word still tells me I am sealed in him. I'm sealed. Hallelujah. I'm protected. I'm preserved to the day of the redemption of my body, to the praise of his glory. And I can find no hint in all of that scripture that any power in heaven or earth can break that seal, because God did it. Jesus did it. So nothing can break that seal. It's an unbreakable seal. So you don't have to worry. It's not going to be broken by Satan's wiles. It's not going to be taken out by man's doctrine or sin. Because, dear brothers and sisters, you who may not have yet believed Jesus for your salvation, you who are seeking the truth and wondering about life, what life is all about Jesus. All about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. Okay, I have to close, but let me back up to that last phrase. Having also believed. You know what? It's as simple as that. And all these 14 verses at the beginning of this epistle, and these 14 verses that establish the theme for this entire letter, we find that God does everything. There he goes again, being that sovereign God, being God all by himself. Because, see, the word of God says that he blesses, he chooses, he makes holy and blameless, he predestines, he adopts, he lavishes his grace, his forgiveness, he redeems, he reveals, he purposes, he gives an inheritance, and he seals. Now, through all of this, the only thing you see us doing is believing. Hallelujah. See, some of us need to just go ahead and let God be God. We need to get out of that place where we are constantly trying to prove how holy we are or how worthy we are. Don't you understand? You didn't have anything to do with that. As you see from my text, God does everything. And all he asks us to do is believe. Believe in him. After you have heard the message of truth, after you have heard the gospel of your salvation, you're going to believe. And then it goes on to say, having also believed. Do you know why, or do you understand why I can confidently and boldly declare that I and everyone who has put their faith in the Christ shed blood and his resurrection are eternally secure. It's all because we didn't do anything. None of this is based upon what we do. None of this is based upon what we know. None of this is based upon who we know. The only thing this is based upon is the love of God. Hallelujah. Who I once again will say is God all by himself. You see, if there was any part of our salvation that was dependent on man, on the seeker for redemption to be accomplished, any small part at all, no matter how small, then I would have to go on and just say, there's a weak link in the process. And we all better mind our P's and Q's in case we do, so we won't blow it. Huh. But see, we had that burden taken off our shoulders. Why? Because God has done it all. He has called us, and he has granted us repentance, and he has, by his Holy Spirit of promise, brought about in us the obedience of faith. And he has placed his seal of ownership, of protection, of preservation over our souls, and it is more certain than yesterday's news. Hallelujah. And here's another thing that's more certain than yesterday's news, and that's the fact that we will one day finally see him face to face. I'm going to see him face to face in my glorified body. I will be rewarded with a crown, which I am immediately going to cast at his feet in worship. But I do know I will be reigning and ruling with him eternally as a blood-washed heir of God. And a joint heir with his son Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, who is the head over all things and in whom all things will be ultimately reunited to the praise of his glory. Excuse me. Now I ask you, could you say that today? Is this your truth? Have you recognized your need for a Savior? And said more than I'm sorry, but said, Lord, I repent of my sin. Have you believed in the message of salvation? And have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, if you haven't, I came to tell you, today is the day. There may be no other day. Don't turn your back on Jesus today. Don't turn your back on Jesus one more time. Hallelujah. You know, today is the day. Today is the day that you should go to the Lord. Hallelujah. And begin that redemptive process by making Jesus your Lord and your Savior. I want somebody to believe and be healed and sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. I want you to be able to join us all that believe at the marriage supper table of the Lamb. Who have believed, you need to rejoice. You need to exalt his holy name. Why? Because we're sealed. And there is no force that can break that seal. Hallelujah. We have an inheritance. Hallelujah. We have a promise. Abraham had a promised land. We got a promised land. We have a promise of hope, and we have been sealed by the Spirit of hope. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but this one thing I do know. I love the Lord, and I am so grateful to him that I know for myself that I have everything that I will ever need in him. I don't have to worry about proving anything or doing anything or earning anything. All I have to do is believe in God's holy word. So I want somebody to begin to recognize, hallelujah, that you're safe in his arms. You're safe as his child. You're safe. You're protected, never rejected, as a child of the living God. I want you to know that your redemption is sure, unbeliever. Your inheritance awaits you, and the table is set because he's coming, and he's coming soon, and he's coming for you. My question is, will you be ready? Amen. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Now, you have heard the word, and what I want to do right now is to, if she does not mind, I want to just simply, because I really, this message really teaches us about salvation, but I'm going to ask if Apostle Zeta would just come in and, you know, lead the unbelievers, have a word for the another word for the unbelievers, and we will have a word of prayer. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, okay, you have heard the word of God this morning. It has really touched me, and I'm sure those of you that are there in the audience, it has touched you as well. Praise God. And if there is anyone that is ready today, as she said, today is the day. Amen. Today is the appointed time to turn your lives over to Christ. Praise God. To come to God knowing that you are a sinner, knowing that you need a Savior, knowing that God gave his only Son, hallelujah, so that you could live, so that you could have eternal life and peace in Christ Jesus. If you are ready, praise God, all you have, she told you, what you needed to do is to repent. Ask God to forgive you for your sins. And if you're ready, praise God, you can do that right now. Hallelujah. And accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Hallelujah. And those that may have backslidden, those that have turned away from Christ, those that don't feel like they're worthy to come back to him, you are, because he loves you and he sees you as valuable. So you too can
Amen.
Come back.
Mm,
hallelujah. In the name of
that's
Jesus.
Good.
Hallelujah. Amen. So she has told you what you need to do. So, and I have mentioned what you need to do. And if you are ready, you can do that right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Pray with them.
Amen.
Apostle. Pray with them.
Apostle. Okay. Yes, I will. Hallelujah.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm going to pray a prayer with you right now. Father God, I come to you. I come to you knowing that I have sinned against you. But I acknowledge the fact that Jesus died for me and others for my sins, and I can be forgiven. I'm asking right now that you would forgive me of all of my sins. I want to be saved.
Yes. Yes.
So if you prayed that simple
yes,
little prayer,
Jesus.
Praise God, you have already entered into the family of God. Father God, I pray for these ones that have accepted you. I pray, Lord,
yes,
that they
Lord.
Will, that you will lead them to a place where they can learn more about you, where they will hear the true gospel, that they will hear your true word, hallelujah, and that they will grow in grace, and that they will grow
yes.
and mature and be all that you would have them to be. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, those that may have backslidden, may have gone astray, those that have come back to you with the same prayer, asking that you would forgive them, hallelujah. I know that they too are welcome back into the family of God.
Yes, Lord.
And we
Lord.
Thank you for
yes,
it.
Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. Thank you, Apostle Zeta. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Now, before I let you get out of here this morning, because I'm still a servant leader that sometimes, you know, I have to work out the little kinks and order and the order of things. But right now, I'd like to tell you what will be going on this week at the Spirit Alive Network on tomorrow. Monday, April 15th, you are more than welcome to join me on Taking It to the Streets in the War Room, where we will be discussing the fourth watch, and this is the fourth watch of the ninth. I truly believe that knowing God about God's night watches will empower us to pray even more effectively. It is simply another strategy to know that we are in line with the will of God. So join me tomorrow night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time right here on the Spirit Alive Network for Meet Me in the War Room. Then on Tuesday, April the 16th, you can listen to Tuesday Night Teachings with Bishop Lester Carver. He airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and he will be bringing you a Rhema word that is going to help you to live a more abundant life. Then on Wednesday, April the 17th, we have All Nations Bible Study, which is led by our very own Apostle Zeta Flowers, and she will be coming to us with God's Riches at Christ's Expense, Part 2. She started the series last week, and I can't wait. I know it's truly going to be a blessing to you because it's already blessing me, and I haven't even heard the whole series yet. Praise the Lord. Then on Friday, please join Bishop Lester Carver for Every Man Standing in His Place. Hallelujah. Well, he will come and stand and deliver a word to the brothers. Hallelujah. And then Saturday on April the 20th, that program airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then Saturday at 12 noon, you are welcome to join Minister Adam Tuggle for the summit. So that's what's going on here at the Spirit Alive Network this week, and you are more than welcome to listen and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We have truly had a beautiful and blessed service. I just want to praise God for the moving of His Spirit. I want to thank God for all who were listening this morning in the studio, which is our sanctuary on Sunday, for all of you that were listening via your computers and via the chat rooms. We just want to say we praise God for you. We pray that you were blessed. Hallelujah. Now, if there will be nothing else, hallelujah. Now unto him who is able to exceedingly and abundantly bless you, may the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you until we meet again. You, my brothers and my sisters, God bless you. You are dismissed. Go with God. We pray that you have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours. It's our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. We love you. God bless you. And we will see you next time. Everyone that's in the studio, your mics are unmuted. I love all of you. God bless you, Minister Tina.
Love you too.
Zeta,
God bless you.
To my two aunties.
Thank you so much for this beautiful service.
I love
Amen.
All of you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm praying for everybody. God bless you.
Amen.